The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Get ready for another edition of The Lunchtime Doctor. 5 minutes now after 12 noon. And as always, we have Dr. Brittany Dean on the line. Good afternoon, Doc.
Good afternoon, Bees. It is another Monday, and I hope everybody had a great and restful weekend. And today we are going to be talking about, the importance of being active. Why is our muscle important to us? But of course, while we're talking about a specific topic, feel free to call in, ask your questions, you know, give us a call, anything you want to talk about in terms of medicine. I am here to talk about it. So, yeah.
All right, definitely. And our numbers, of course, are 625-2257, 625-2257. Feel free to message us at 306-1065 anytime with your medical questions. So we get into our topic for today. Now, you know when people usually hear muscle strength and training, they usually think about big, heavy lifting weights, and that may intimidate some people, but it doesn't always have to be like that.
Exactly. And the reason I thought it was appropriate for us to talk about the importance of strength training and why is our muscle important. In fact, yesterday, I actually won the bodybuilding competition, the NPC bodybing competition.
Well, really? Congrats,
and,
man.
Yeah. And I was the smallest person there. So, yes, small people can maintain a lot of muscle too. And muscle is very important. It's one of the most metabolically active tissues in our body. And today we're going to learn about why it's important to strength train to build that muscle and why is it important for our overall health.
All right. Yeah. So let's talk about it. Why is muscle and strength training important for overall health?
So I would say that both muscle and strength training to actually gain that muscle, it is very crucial to our health. Remember, I said it's the most metabolically active tissue in our body. So they don't just enhance our physical fitness, but also the way that our body functions on a daily basis. So that strength training, you know, lifting the weights, doing a little bit of resistance training, that is going to help us maintain muscle mass, which naturally, as we get older, is going to decline. And without that regular training, muscle loss can actually lead to weakness in the body, as well as a reduction in mobility or the ability for us to move around. And in our older years, that is going to result in an increased risk of falls, especially in those older adults. And we definitely see it in older women. It will also strengthen our bones. And that actually reduces the risk of osteoporosis and fractures in the bones. So you know how we always talk about when women go through menopause, they tend to lose a lot of their bone density, and that leads to osteoporosis. Now, if you are strength training throughout your younger years and you continue that into your older years, that actually strengthens your bones and reduces that risk of osteoporosis. And of course, reducing your risk of falling down, getting some sort of fractures. And, studies actually show that a lot of people who actually fall, who have osteoporosis, and if they break their hip or if they break any parts of their bones, it is very difficult to become mobile again. And a lot of them do succumb to their injuries about 6 months after. And like I said, muscle is the most metabolically active tissue in our body. So strength training is going to support our metabolic health because it actually improves your insulin sensitivity. And that is why it's important for diabetics to get themselves involved in that strength training as well. That is going to help regulate your blood sugar levels. And in the persons who are pre-diabetic, it's going to reduce the risk of you developing that type 2 diabetes. And of course, strength training also is going to aid in that weight management. Muscle tissue actually burns more calories than fat, even at rest. So in essence, you know, strength training is not just about the looking fit, the looking athletic, but it is about building a lot of resilience and improving your quality of life at any age that you decide to strength train.
All right. And how does building muscle benefit the body beyond just appearance?
So building that muscle is going to have profound benefits internally that will go far beyond, you know, the aesthetics. Yes, all of us like to look nice. We like to look toned and shapely, but there's so much more to building muscle than just the way that we physically look. So once you start to build those strong muscles, that is going to improve your joint stability, and it's going to reduce the risk of injuries during your daily activities and your daily exercise. And of course, they also support better posture, better balance, and all of these things in the long run is going to prevent falls and other accidents. Having more muscle mass actually contributes to that healthier metabolism. So what it does is that muscle, because it's so metabolically active, it increases your resting metabolic rate, meaning that your body is going to burn even more calories even when you're not active. So muscle will also play a role in our functional health. So just think about it on a daily basis. There are many things that we do that will require us to have some form of physical fitness or some form of strength training, you know, the everyday activities that we look at. So something as small as lifting our groceries or climbing the stairs or even playing with your kids, all of these things may require some form of muscle development. And even on that biochemical level, muscles actually release a certain compound called myokines during exercise. And those myokines actually have anti-inflammatory properties, and it promotes your overall health. And of course, it is included in reducing that risk of chronic diseases like the heart disease and the cancer. And later on, we're going to find out how, you know, having more muscle can actually reduce your risk of heart disease.
All right, folks, I see your messages coming in. We'll take a break to answer them in just a short while, but continue to send them at 306-1065. Remember, you could also message Sangeet 106.1 and Sky 99.5, and they will send your messages to us right here in studio. And, of course, we will take your calls at 625-2257. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor as we continue. So at what age should people start focusing on strength training, and is it ever too late to start? And what about too early? Can teenagers as well, sometimes you see teenagers in the gym, is it okay for somebody younger to start their strength training?
So that's a very good question. And really and truly, I would say that strength training can and should be started, of course, at almost any age. I mean, you're not going to have your toddler doing any sort of pull-ups or any sort of resistance training. But of course, going into the teenage years and adolescence, it can be started at any age around that time, as long as it's done appropriately. So, you know, for children and teens, strength training can actually help build that foundation of strong bones and muscles, as long as they avoid a lot of the heavy lifting and focus more on body weight exercises or even light resistance using resistance belts. Incorporating that strength training early can help them combat any sort of muscle loss and support long-term health. Now, like I said, for children and teens, you don't want to go too heavy on the weights. You may want to do body weights for them and add those little 5 pounds or those 10 pounds. For persons who are very much well-versed in training and they have a personal trainer, of course, as you get older, you're going to want to increase the weights to make it a little heavier and give you a little more of that resistance. Now, when we're talking about the older adults, it's never actually too late to start that strength training. Of course, once you're properly checked out by your doctor, once you don't have the comorbidities and they are complicated, etc., it is very much safe to do so. And of course, I would suggest that if you are in that older category, 60 years and over, you get a proper personal trainer to help you learn the exercises properly, make sure that you're doing the movement appropriately and so on. You know, research has actually shown that even people that are in their 70s and 80s, they can still build muscle. Of course, it is going to be a lot more difficult than a younger person for those persons to build muscle, but it is possible to still build a little bit of muscle and improve your strength with the proper training. But it is particularly important for that age group because they need to maintain their muscle mass and their bone density so that it can prevent any sort of frailty, improve their balance overall, and of course, enhance their independence. And for persons in the older age group, you know, starting slow with light weights or resistance bands under professional supervision is key for them to have that healthy weight management, that healthy muscle mass management as well.
All right, pretty good. Of course, these days you're starting to see a lot of elderly folks and mature folks in the gym, so that's a good sign at least.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So how does strength training help with managing or preventing chronic disease like diabetes or osteoporosis?
So, like I spoke about before, strength training is a very powerful tool for managing certain chronic diseases. For diabetes in particular, I mentioned that it improves the insulin sensitivity. So what that does is that it allows the body to use that glucose more effectively. This not only helps to control the blood sugar levels, but it can also reduce the need for medication in some cases. Strength training, remember I said when we strength train, our muscles release what is called myokines. So that reduces inflammation, and that is a significant contributor to many of the chronic diseases, including the type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular issues. When our body actually has that glucose in our bloodstream, the first place that glucose goes to and one of the biggest places it actually is transported to is our muscle tissue. And that's why it's important if somebody's pre-diabetic or even diabetic, it is important for you to start strength training so that you can build that muscle, so that you can improve your insulin sensitivity, so that you have an appropriate place for that glucose to go to when it is shuttled into your bloodstream. Now, in terms of osteoporosis, strength training is actually one of the best ways to stimulate your bone growth. When you actually lift those weights, you are actually putting some sort of stress on your bones, and that encourages the formation of new bone tissue. And on top of that, it increases your bone density. And when you increase your bone density, you reduce the risk of osteoporosis. You reduce the risk of falls and of fractures in the long run. So focusing on exercises like squats or lunges and deadlifts, those are particularly beneficial because they actually target the weight-bearing bones.
Let's just take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Peace, boy. Blessing you, Doc. So, my neighbor here is Boris Dean. He's 72. He did our men's clinic. The other Sunny Grand even had men's clinic. I do the interview. He did a decision. It was okay. Last twice, he got pain in the middle of his chest. He was on the left. Yes. I told him, I know on the left side is heart attack. Something to do with the heart. The middle could be gas or some other thing. I don't only guess it only when he's doing on the left side to sleep or on the right side. But once he's on his back, it's okay. Could you could you even have an insight on that, fella?
Okay, so in terms of getting pain in the middle of the chest, usually we would call that the epigastric region, and that is related to more stomach issues. So it could possibly mean that he is getting some sort of irritation in the stomach. He's probably getting some sort of acid reflux, or even there may be other issues in the stomach that he should get checked out, especially if he has acid reflux. That is going to put him at risk for peptic ulcer disease, as well as other diseases as well. And as far as sleeping, you know, on the right, that is actually probably making the acids in the stomach irritate that specific area a lot more. And when you sleep on your chest, remember, everything is resting properly in the stomach, so you will not get as much irritation. So to me, it sounds like it is possibly a stomach issue, something possibly related to acid reflux, or something that can be another risk of acid reflux, like peptic ulcer or some sort of stomach ulcer. So I do suggest if he can go and get it checked out, he should go and get it checked out.
All right, let's take a break here to ask some of your questions. Hi, Doc. I am a 60-year-old female. I am suffering with knee arthritis. I am fed up of taking tablets. I also take injections. Is there any cure for arthritis? Thank you.
So, unfortunately, there's no actual cure for arthritis. We don't have a cure, but there are therapies that you can do at home that can help to ease the pain. So sometimes applying a heating pad or a warm towel to the stiff joints, that can improve the blood circulation and relax the muscles and ease the stiffness as well. In other cases, you can possibly use an ice pack wrapped in a towel. So if you are getting an acute bout of pain and swelling, that is best for those times. So the ice pack in the acute setting, that is going to numb the area and provide some sort of pain relief during the flare-ups. And of course, the medications are supposed to help in terms of the pain management. The injections are supposed to help as well in terms of the pain management. But there's no actual cure for arthritis, unfortunately. You just have to help yourself not progress the disease. So you can also try some sort of loop impact exercises, gentle activities, walking or swimming or yoga to improve that joint flexibility and reduce that stiffness. Regular movement will actually help to prevent the joints from becoming too stiff while strengthening your muscles so that it will give you that additional support. So really and truly, what you can do is just not progress the disease, and any sort of pain management or pain therapy.
Nice. We're taking your questions right now at 625-2257. WhatsApp us at 3061065. Lunchtime, doctor. Good afternoon. I took my two toddlers to baby gym, and it paid off. That continued right up until they were able to decide on their own exercise regime. Were you aware that there's a baby gym out there, doc?
No, but it's probably one of those little jungle gyms, and those are actually very good for toddlers to play in. So, I mean, it's not, you know, a full regime of things, unless this baby gym actually has them doing, you know, any sort of weights. I know there are toy weights for toddlers. And it is good to get your children involved in activities like that. It will help them in the long run, and it will basically sensitize them to actually going in the gym. Even Dr. Mike was telling me when he was younger and he would see his dad lifting weights, you know, his dad bought him a little toy bar, and as a toddler, he would be lifting those weights with him. So it really does start in the home. So if your children see you doing it, they will be more inclined to do it as well.
All right, somebody else here is saying there, Doc, the person can do an ESR test to confirm it's arthritis. It's a good marker for it.
I mean, I think the person did mention they did have arthritis. I'm guessing it was a full diagnosis, especially because they're getting injections.
All right, let's get another message here.
Good day, doctor. I have been coughing for years and years. And then recently, last couple of weeks, I've been coughing more frequently and more violently. I went to an ENT doctor, which you put the scope down my nose into my throat. He told me I had something called LPR, which is a throat kind of acid reflux, not for the stomach, for the larynx. Larynx is something, it's also known as the silent reflux. The medicine I got was, he said, I get relief in 6 weeks. I mean, in the meantime, I mean, coughing is really dreadful. What do you suggest? Is there anything I can take that would make it faster? A faster cure, because I mean, this coughing is irritating my stomach, it's irritating everything, and it's getting violent, right? And he said inside my throat was inflamed and sore, and this redness. So, please, can you advise him?
Right. So, basically, what this patient has is something called laryngopharyngeal reflux. And that is usually what we call the silent reflux. And what happens is that stomach acid actually flows backward into the throat and the larynx. So it doesn't always cause the heartburn, and it will be a lot harder to identify because it is silent. But in terms of the medication, you may have gotten the same sort of medications that they do use to help the stomach acid, as well as, you know, the antacids, etc. But there are things that you can do to help, you know, the medications work a little faster. So things that you can specifically do is adjust your diet. So avoid any sort of triggering foods like the spicy foods, the alcohol, the caffeine, the fatty or the fried foods, as well as citrus. All of these things tend to irritate the stomach acids, and eat more smaller or more frequent meals to avoid overloading the stomachs, and avoid eating about 2 to 3 hours before you lie down or before you go to bed. And you may want to try elevating your head while you're sleeping. So, you know, that is going to prevent the acid from reaching your throat while lying down.
All right, let's get a call. Hello. Thanks for holding, caller. Hello.
Yes, hello, doctor. I wanted to ask, doctor, what is the difference between vegan or vegetarian protein and meat protein? Hello?
Okay, thank you.
Yes. So in terms of vegan or vegetarian protein, they will get their protein from more plant-based sources. And of course, the meat eaters will get their proteins from the lean meats. So of course, the chicken, the fish, the beef, any sort of meat will contain large amounts of protein. The vegans will get their protein sources from a lot of the plant-based sources, as opposed to a lot of the animal-based sources, because vegetarians or vegans will not consume animal-derived products. I can't remember exactly what are the plant protein sources, but I know chickpea is definitely one of them. I'm not too sure of the other, or quinoa is probably one of them as well. Certain legumes, lentils, some nuts and seeds will contain for vegans and vegetarians.
A person message said the baby gym was in the UK. They even had the parallel bars at the gym, especially for little people.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, that is very nice. And I feel like maybe we should bring that to Trinidad to get more of our children involved in activities like that.
Definitely. Let's continue with the lunchtime, Dr. 12:30 on time, folks. as we continue to talk about your muscle building and muscle health. So, can strength training improve heart health? And if so, how?
Yeah, I would say that strength training significantly improves your heart health. So aerobic exercises, things like running, those are actually more associated with the cardiovascular benefits. But strength training will also play a crucial role. It will lower your blood pressure by improving the flexibility of your blood vessels. So what I mean by that is that if your blood vessels are a little more flexible, it will make blood easier to flow through those vessels. Additionally, it reduces the bad cholesterol or the LDL levels, while it increases the good cholesterol or the HDL levels. So it is going to decrease the risk of atherosclerosis and, of course, heart attacks in the long run. Strength training is also going to enhance circulation, and it will help to control your body weight. And when you start to control your body weight, you are going to reduce that strain on your heart as well. And of course, like I mentioned before, it improves the insulin sensitivity and it lowers inflammation. And of course, that is going to minimize the risk of heart-related complications that are associated with diabetes. So incorporating strength training into your routine alongside cardiovascular exercise, that is going to provide a very comprehensive approach to your heart health. So for me particularly, when I get up in the morning, I would do what I call fasted cardio. So about 10 to 20 minutes on the spin bike or whatever means of cardio you have. And throughout the day, then I will start to incorporate my strength training regime. So I'll go to the gym and do some weight exercises or resistance band exercises to help to maintain that muscle mass. So throughout my day, I want to make sure that I have good cardiovascular working, and I start that in the morning so that I have proper energy and heart health to go into my strength training regime.
All right, we do have some more WhatsApp messages coming. We'll get to them in just a short while, and some more of your calls at 625-2257. What role does muscle mass play in metabolism and weight management?
So muscle mass is what we call a metabolic powerhouse. So the more muscle you have, the more calories your body burns at rest, as muscle tissue requires more energy to maintain than fat tissue. So in easier ways to understand it, the more muscle you have, the more fat you're going to burn off. This higher resting metabolic rate, it will make it a lot easier to manage your weight over time, even when you're not actively exercising. Strength training also increases what we call the afterburn effect, meaning that even after you strength train, your body is going to continue burning calories for hours after that workout. So this combination of having that increased metabolic activity in your body and the caloric burn, that is going to make strength training very excellent for a lot of people who want to lose weight and want to actually maintain that weight loss long term. And of course, you know, strength training will also help to prevent the metabolic slowdown that will come with aging, or that will come with crash dieting as well.
Definitely. So that could definitely help you with your diet. But of course, you could be weight training, but you do also have to diet as well too, because
exactly,
you can't be doing weight training. Well, it depends. I mean, if you're very slim and you want to put on some weight, they will tell you to eat certain things, but weight training and diet goes hand in hand. Yes,
I completely agree with that. But you know, a lot of people who strength train and they ensure that they get their cardio in, or they do their running or their cycling or their walking, they are able to eat. So moderation is a term for those people. Moderation is for the persons who incorporate the strength training and they incorporate the cardio and they ensure that they have the exercise regime on point. Yes, you can have, you know, your one day where you get to eat the cookie that you want to eat. But, you know, if you're not implementing those things in your daily life, moderation is not the word for you. You definitely have to be able to make sure that you have a diet that is completely on point if you are unable to strength train. But I definitely will suggest strength training to every person who has the ability to strength train.
All right, let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor. Hello?
Yes, hi.
Yes, go ahead with your question, miss.
I think I have the wrong number.
Thank you. Let's get some WhatsApp questions in there. What is fistula and can it be cured?
So what a fistula is basically an abnormal connection between two different passageways or passageway between two different organs or vessels or tissues, and that typically are not supposed to be connected. So there are different types of fistulas that can form in the body. So you can have fistulas in the digestive tract or the urinary tract or even in the blood vessels themselves. And people, depending on where the fistula is, of course, you're going to get different symptoms. So if it's in the digestive tract, you're going to get diarrhea or abdominal pain. If it's in the urogenitory tract, you're going to get incontinence or frequent urinary tract infections. There are many causes of fistulas. Some of them would be because of infections or abscesses or even conditions like Crohn's disease. And it can be a result of trauma or surgical complications as well. And of course, the options, the treatment options are going to depend on where the fistula is, if it's complicated or uncomplicated. Sometimes you may get antibiotics, anti-inflammatory drugs, and some may require surgical intervention. So that's basically a gist of what a fistula is. It's basically that abnormal connection between two organs or vessels or tissues that are not supposed to be connected.
Speaking of antibiotics, I have a question here. Well, first I said congratulations, Doc, on your big muscle contest. Right.
Thank you.
Right. I'm on some antibiotics for a UTI I developed. Right. Today is my third day. I'm still experiencing severe burning. Do you know when I'll get some improvement? Thank you.
So really and truly, it is dependent on how complicated the UTI was. But remember, antibiotics are given for a certain amount of time. So more than likely, you were given the antibiotics for about 7 days. And on top of taking the antibiotics, please ensure that you are drinking a good amount of water throughout the day. Make sure that you are not dehydrated and ensure that you are having a proper diet, because you don't want anything else irritating even your gastrointestinal tract. Yes, I mean, of course, you're looking at your urinary tract, but remember, a lot of the things that we eat also represents the things that we pass out of our body. So ensure that you are drinking enough fluids throughout the day. And when I say fluids, I mean strictly just water. You don't want to be drinking anything to dry you out, like coffee or alcohol. Even because it's day three, you will still get some burning. If you finished your antibiotics after day seven and you're still getting the symptoms, you need to go back by your doctor and they probably need to place you on a different antibiotic. But just ensure that you take it for the full regime that you were given. And if you're still getting symptoms, then you need to return.
Let's take a call. Thank you for holding. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks again, Doc. Now,
no problem.
Right. When we went to Tanigani Men's Day Clinic, right, the CEO was many of us, 47 years. And I recommend that with your age, your aspirin, initially to send turmeric to Dr. Fa. So he'll be using this now for 3 or 4 months. We want to know if turmeric acidic. Thanks again, that's all.
Thanks again. The question is turmeric acidic? Was that the question?
I
didn't hear. Right. So turmeric is not inherently acidic. It's actually considered more neutral to slightly alkaline. But it really is dependent, like that pH or whether it's acidic or not, is dependent on the preparation and the form. Now, there are active compounds in turmeric that are very powerful and anti-inflammatory, and they have the antioxidant properties, and it's very much a natural remedy for a lot of its health benefits, but I don't see it. It actually does help in supporting the stomach lining, so it will help to reduce a lot of inflammation or gastritis that somebody may be experiencing. But of course, I will recommend it, or I would say use it sparingly. You don't want to overuse turmeric because it does have blood thinning properties as well.
All right, folks, once again, we're live in the lunchtime. Dr. Freedom 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5, Sangit 106.1, 625-2257, 306-1065. Feel free to call us up or message with any of your medical questions. So how often should someone engage in strength training for optimal results?
So in terms of optimal results, you know, there are studies based on this, but the American College of Sports Medicine, they actually recommend that a person should engage in strength training about 2 to 3 times per week at least. You know, these sessions themselves, they should target all the major muscle groups. So you want to look at targeting the legs, the back, the chest, the arms, and the core. Beginners can start with 2 sessions per week and, of course, gradually increase your frequency or your intensity as your strength improves with time. And, you know, sometimes it's essential to allow at least 48 hours of rest between sessions targeting the same muscle group to prevent overtraining and promote muscle recovery. So what I mean by that is that if you train legs on one day, you possibly don't want to train legs the next day. You can probably train a different body part so that you can give yourself time for your legs to properly and fully recover to basically go again and train it the following day. Consistency is also key when it comes to strength training. So even a short 20 to 30 minute session, that can make a very significant impact when it is done regularly. So if you have a specific goal, such as building muscle or recovering from an injury, you know, it is important for you to have a tailored program that is designed by somebody who is a fitness professional or physical therapist. That would be very much ideal for these persons.
All right, so what are some beginner-friendly strength training exercises for people who have never worked out before? And do you necessarily need to go into the gym to do strength training? Can you do some stuff at home?
You can definitely do a lot of strength training exercises at home. Of course, the gym is just going to have a lot more weights, a lot more equipment. That makes it easier, especially when you have a trainer to show you exactly what exercises you can do. But there are things that you can do at home involving your own body weight movements that will focus on form and building that foundational strength. You know, being at home doing some squats or even push-ups modified on your knees if you need to modify them, lunges and planks and glute bridges, you know, all of these exercises require no equipment, and it can be done at home. It can be done before you go to work. It can be done when you come home in the evening. So it is definitely accessible to everyone. You know, we tend to think strength training is we have to hold the weight, so we have to hold the resistance band. No, sometimes it's really just using your body weight to push yourself. So as your confidence grows when you're using your body weight, sometimes you may want to pick up some light dumbbells or resistance bands that can be added to increase the resistance, especially if it's getting easier with time. So it is important to start with low intensity exercises, focus on the proper techniques at first to prevent injury. And then, of course, you know, you can amp up to the light dumbbells. And, you know, if possible, if you want to start going to the gym, there are trainers at the gym who are willing to help you and teach you how to do certain exercises. You know, beginners definitely should aim for 1 to 2 sets of 10 to 5 repetitions for each exercise. And you gradually increase that as you build your strength.
All right, folks, 14 minutes away from 1 o'clock, lunchtime, Doctor. Right here at Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangi 106.1 and Sky 99.5. Many people, especially women, fear that strength training will make them look bulky. Is this true? Well, I guess you're a testament to that not being true.
So that is a very common myth. You know, a lot of women definitely do think that, but it definitely does not make you look bulky. And in fact, in order for you to be able to get extremely bulky or extremely big, you're going to have to be strength training and eating copious amounts of foods for at least 10 years. So if you're now starting the gym and you are probably lifting 5-pound dumbbells, you're definitely not going to get bulky probably any part of your lifetime. So really and truly, and you are right, I am a testament to that. A lot of people look at me and they don't even know that I am a bodybuilder. And that's because, you know, bodybuilding does not have to be bulky for women. It is very small. Strength training can make you very toned. Your muscle mass does not have to be big and bulky. It can be very subtle. And it really is about maintaining that muscle mass so that you can have all the health benefits. And of course, the aesthetics is a plus size of a plus or a bonus as well. Women generally, we do not produce enough testosterone, and testosterone is largely responsible for that muscle bulk. So it is very difficult to get that level of muscle bulk because we don't have that much testosterone anyways. Strength training will more likely for us result in that toned and sculpted physique rather than that bulky appearance. And strength training is actually one of the most effective ways for women to achieve a leaner, more defined body while improving your bone density and your overall health. Focusing on the higher repetitions with the moderate weights, that can also enhance a woman's endurance without adding significant muscle size to her.
What about those muscle mass products that they sell? Do you recommend those, all those protein stuff?
So protein powders, a lot of people tend to think protein powders are going to make you bulky. Really and truly, they do not. Protein supplements are really just that. They are just supplements to your daily intake of protein. And sometimes they are much, I would always recommend a proper, clean, isolate protein over somebody drinking a milkshake. There's no benefits to drinking a milkshake that is full of sugar as opposed to a protein shake where you get possibly 40 grams of protein and meet your daily intake of protein. Protein is needed to build that muscle mass, and it's needed to supplement your strength training workout. Not everybody needs to take a protein powder. I mean, if you want to take a protein powder, that is fine. I particularly don't like the taste of some protein powders, but it is just a good supplement, a good way to get in your protein a lot easier than eating copious amounts of meat or copious amounts of food if it is very difficult for you to consume that much food.
All right, and is muscle and strength training only for athletes and bodybuilders? Why or why not?
I definitely don't think, you know, building muscle, strength training That is not exclusive to athletes or bodybuilders. We're all born with some level of muscle. It belongs to all of us. It is beneficial for everybody, regardless of your fitness level. Yes, athletes and us bodybuilders, we will use strength training to enhance our performance, to sculpt our physiques. But the average person, they can benefit immensely from a lot of the health advantages of having that muscle. And some of them would be improving your posture, increasing your energy, and reducing the risk of chronic diseases. Strength training will also improve somebody's functional fitness, which means that it will help with your everyday tasks like lifting or carrying or climbing the stairs. And of course, it is very important for populations such as the older adults who will rely on that strength training to maintain their independence, especially people who are also recovering from the injuries. They will use it as part of their rehabilitation. So strength training is for anyone that is looking to enhance their quality of life.
Strength training. Okay, we do have a WhatsApp message coming in. Let's see if we could answer this before we move on. Good day, Doc. A pharmacist recommended Gas X for bloating. Does it purge you? Thanks.
I don't believe that it purges you, but it's just going to help in terms of the indigestion and the discomfort that comes with the bloating.
All right, which is more effective, dumbbells or the resistance training machines at the gym?
That is really dependent on what is your preference. So some persons can use dumbbells very effectively, while some persons need the extra help of certain machines to get that proper form and that proper technique. So that is really dependent on the person and what their preference is.
And how can strength training benefit older adults, and how should their approach differ from young people?
So for older adults, remember, strength training is a game changer in terms of preserving their independence and quality of life. So strength training for the older population, that is going to combat that natural loss of muscle mass and bone density that occurs with aging. And of course, it is going to reduce the risk of falls and fractures. It will also enhance the joint stability and improve the mobility. And all of these things are very much crucial for maintaining an active lifestyle as the person ages. Now, in terms of older adults, they definitely need to prioritize the low-impact exercises that are gentle on their joints. So things like the resistance band exercises, the seated strength training exercises, or even using the body weight movements like the wall push-ups and the sit-to-stands. All of these things will be more beneficial to that age group because it is not going to require a lot of stress on their body as they're using, you know, lighter weights or lighter resistance to help them maintain that muscle mass. And of course, it is beneficial for them to have a trainer as well. You want to focus on the proper form and you want to progress gradually. All of these things are going to be essential and key to prevent injuries in the long run. So even for the elderly population, strength training 2 to 3 times per week, combined with, you know, flexibility and balance exercises, that will actually provide a well-rounded fitness routine for these persons.
Okay, 6 minutes away from 1 o'clock, folks. What advice would you give to someone recovering from an injury who wants to start strength training?
So it is going to be a lot more difficult if somebody is recovering from an injury, but it is possible. So it's important to approach that strength training cautiously and with professional guidance. You don't want to start something on your own without the proper intervention, because that is just setting yourself up for more injuries or setting yourself up not to heal appropriately in the long run. So you want to start with the low impact exercises or the resistance band training to help rebuild that strength without putting undue stress on the injured area. So having that physical therapist or qualified trainer that can design that tailored program that will gradually increase in intensity as your healing progresses, that is going to be key. And you want to focus on exercises that strengthen the surrounding muscles to support that injured area while avoiding movements that cause pain. So it is also essential, I think, for persons who are recovering from injury, incorporating that stretching and those mobility exercises that can also help them improve their recovery. And of course, it is important to be patient. Patience is key in these things. You don't want to overexert yourself too soon because that can delay the healing process. So make sure that you're listening to your body while you're going through this rehabilitation and make sure that you're progressing at a manageable pace.
All right, two quick questions here. What's the quickest home remedy to send down high blood pressure, high glucose levels? High blood glucose levels.
In terms of home remedies, I would definitely suggest that, you know, your blood sugar did not go up in one day. So it is very difficult to get your blood sugar fully down in one day. You want to focus on actually maintaining a proper blood glucose levels. And the way that you're going to do that is by switching up your diet, taking out the refined sugars, taking out a lot of the refined carbohydrates, switching the simple sugars to the complex carbs. So not eating the roti and the doubles or everything we like to eat, the white breads, all of these things. All of these things actually increase your blood sugar levels. Just because it's not sweet doesn't mean that it does not increase it. All of these things are carbohydrates and they break down into glucose. So you're going to switch that out for the ground provisions, the Edos, the sweet potatoes. And as much as you can, try to eat more of the greens and the lean proteins. And on top of that, incorporate the strength training as well as the cardiovascular exercises. This is going to improve your insulin sensitivity in the long run. So it's not about the quickest home remedy to do anything. You need something that can be maintained on a daily basis.
All right. Final question here. What is the cause for cramps in your whole body?
Cramping in the whole body can mean many different things. Remember, we have different layers to the bodies. It could be muscular, it could be nervous, it could be bone pain. There are many different reasons, but sometimes when you are very low on sodium, that can also be a reason you experience cramping. If you're low on calcium, that can be a reason that you are also cramping. So when you have some sort of imbalance in your electrolytes, that can be a reason for cramping as well. So what I would suggest is that maybe ensure that you're drinking enough water. And maybe try to get a drink that has electrolytes in it and see if that improves the cramping as well.
Hi, doctor. We have one more minute, so let's see if you can answer this as quickly as possible. Is it possible that mental health can, strength training improve your mental health?
I would say that strength training offers multiple mental health benefits. It will reduce your stress by lowering those levels of cortisol. And it will increase the release of endorphins. Those are the natural mood elevators. And that combination is going to improve our mood and combat any sort of anxiety and depression. And of course, strength training is going to boost your self-esteem in the long run and your confidence as you achieve your fitness goals. You're going to feel a lot stronger and a lot more self-confident. And regular strength training actually enhances our cognitive function and reduces the risk of age-related cognitive decline. So engaging in that structured workout routine is also going to help us promote better sleep and all of these things for mental well-being.
Okay, Doc, thank you very much. And that's your lunchtime doctor for today, Monday, kicking off the week.
Yes.
Pretty good.
See you tomorrow.
I say tomorrow, folks. Of course, you've been listening to another edition of The Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Brittany Dean right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, and Sky 99.5. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.